Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org.
Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 12th. Well, we just heard Governor Doyle in the state newscast saying that the budget stalemate is beyond ridiculous and rejecting an idea to pass the budget in separate segments. And this hour, we'll talk with a state legislator who says enough is enough. He wants the state budget dispute submitted to binding arbitration. And State Representative Frank Boyle says he'll introduce bills to replace the current budget conference committee and get a neutral mediator involved in the process if the state budget is not resolved by next week. We wonder what you think of that idea, what you think of this whole budget stalemate, and how you think we ought to get this budget done, or if you even care that it's 2 months and counting since Wisconsin was supposed to have a budget. Wisconsin, the only state in the union that doesn't have a budget that should for this fiscal year. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We are happy to have with us Frank Boyle, Democratic State Representative from Superior. Good morning.
Good morning.
So enough is enough, huh?
Oh, I quite agree, and I can't help but echo the governor's sentiment. This is way past due. We're going absolutely nowhere in budget negotiations amongst the conferees that we, incidentally, have selected to negotiate this. And so I just think we need to send a message, because every member, every elected representative, all 132 of us are responsible to put together a budget and submit it in a timely fashion. We have all neglected to do that, and I just think that we need to send a message. If the current conferees, which are comprised of the leadership of both parties, both houses, can't move forward in these negotiations, then we've got to take some dramatic action as a body, as a whole.
Yeah. Why do you think, why can't they move forward, Representative Boyle? What do you think's going on?
I think that this is inevitable in terms of what I've seen in the process. And I've been around 20 years. I have never seen a more partisan budget, blatantly partisan, submitted than I did see by the Republican majority in my House in the Assembly. For instance, it selectively cut funding for shared revenues in Democratic districts, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Superior by 10%. Mm-hmm. It cut the rest of the state shared revenues to municipalities by 5%. It cut building projects from the universities in Democratic districts and gave them to building projects on universities in Republican districts. And it goes on and on from there. This was blatantly a slap in the face, and I think it intentionally set the stage for what is occurring.
Yeah. Well, can't there be some give and take on this? Aren't all of these partisan issues bargaining chips in a way?
Yes, indeed. And I would assume that that would, in fact, be the case. I know that these the Senate Democrats put together a healthy Wisconsin, a universal health care proposal unparalleled in the state history, costing additional $15 billion plus dollars in the budget. And that wasn't going to fly without without a public hearing. I knew that, and I knew it was a bargaining chip. But I think what really flipped this card was the simply the violation of fairness in the doctrine submitted by the Republicans in the Assembly. And I'm not blaming them for the impasse that we currently have, and you're absolutely right. These issues should have been resolved, and they are not.
Yeah. Well, I have heard some Republican lawmakers say that they want their Republican colleagues to stick to their guns because the citizens of Wisconsin don't want the tax increases proposed in the Democratic, the Senate version of the budget.
Well, it's interesting because the governor increased spending 5% in his budget of $58 billion. Joint finance came slightly below that with $58 billion. Their budget proposes an increase of 2.5%, the Republican budget, to $56 billion. Our last budget was $53 billion in the 2006 and 2007. Now, that theory goes only so far, because I think what they're cutting short in a slap in the face to every elected official that's dependent upon shared revenues in the state. We are a huge shared revenue state. Over 60% of our budget goes into shared revenue formulas, public education, the university system, municipals, and the list is endless. And they have no idea what their budgets are going to be, and they've got to formulate those budgets very soon for next year. So I just think that it is incredibly inappropriate not to come up with a budget. If we make cuts, let's make cuts. Let's be open about it. But let's do it so that all of these municipal units of government know what they're going to get.
We're talking with Frank Boyle, Democratic State Representative from Superior, who says it's time for a change to resolve the budget impasse. He says if the budget, state budget, isn't resolved by next week, he's going to introduce two bills that would replace the current eight members of the conference committee with new members and get a neutral professional mediator involved in the process. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September the 12th. Coming up this afternoon, John Munson in for Ben Marins. Rallies across the country are planned for today, protesting a federal crackdown on illegal immigrants. John Munson and his guest will discuss the impact of the rallies after 4 o'clock this afternoon. And we also will be talking after 7 o'clock with guests from both sides of the issue. Our 7 o'clock hour talking about the rallies planned today and the federal crackdown on illegal immigration. Right now, we're talking about the budget stalemate with a state legislator who says enough is enough. State Representative Frank Boyle says he'll propose replacing the current budget conference committee with new members and getting a mediator involved in the process, set the budget to binding arbitration if it's not resolved by next week. Is that the answer? If not, what is the answer? What do you think of this impasse? Do you care? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Representative Boyle says that we are all suffering as a result of this budget impasse. Students need financial aid. School districts need to set their levies. Municipalities need to set their budgets. Highway projects throughout the state are at risk. It's time to resolve the budget impasse. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let's go to the phones. Larry in Kingston is with us first. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the two plans for the budget should be put in the newspapers and all the newspapers in the state of Wisconsin so people can read it in black and white. And then maybe you have an 800 number where they could call in and tell them what they think about the budget plans of both parties.
Yeah, and do you feel we don't know enough about what's in each of the different budgets?
Oh, I'm sure of that. In all of politics, we don't know enough.
Yeah. What about that, Representative Boyle? The citizens really don't know what's going on here.
No, they certainly don't. And I think that is truly a problem. And I quite agree with the gentleman that called. I mean, we're dealing with a $58,000 million budget, $58 billion budget, the largest budget deliberation in the state, exceeding any corporation in the state. And, I think any way we can focus attention on the provisions of this budget, the better off we're going to be. We kind of piecemeal it. We know how much public education is going to get. The teachers know that. The university understands their share of the cut. But this cut permeates the very structure and fabric of our society. Because with City Council of Superior that's now facing a $1 million cut over the governor's proposed budget because of the 10% cut introduced in the Republican Assembly budget. I mean, everyone down the line is now uncertain. It includes, you know, groups like the Development Association of Superior, the Chamber of Commerce, Boys and Girls Clubs, Meals on Wheels, right down to the shelter for the victims of domestic violence. It's all in limbo. It's all affected by this budgetary impasse. So this huge amount of billions of dollars of shared revenues that are going to municipalities that don't know what they're going to get affects all of these programs that support everything that we do in a, as a community.
Yeah, but Larry certainly might have a point that all of us could know more about what's in these budgets, aren't our elected representatives there to do this work for us?
It is not the responsibility of eight members selected by the various elected groups. It's a responsibility of 132 of us, and I can't believe the lack of outcry from my fellow colleagues in the Senate and the Assembly. Everyone's kind of playing the wait-and-see game while the monetary exploitation continues. We've had more fundraisers in this most opportune time than we've ever had in the past that I can recall.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about your proposals. You think this would really work?
Well, we're going to meet next Tuesday, and that's why I kind of selected that date, because I don't know if and when we're ever going to meet again. This has been the most do-nothing assembly session that I can ever recall in 20 years. We've met 13 days since January of this year. Two of those days was the governor's budget address and an inauguration day, which you can't count. Mm-hmm. So we have met 10 days. We've passed very few bills, if anything significant at all. Everything is on hold at this point. The entire legislative process is waiting for the conference committee to deliberate on this budget and get it passed. So we are basically doing nothing. And I think it's a tragedy to the state of Wisconsin that this is occurring.
Yeah, so if, presumably, we're not going to have the budget impasse resolved by next week. So you're going to you're going to introduce these two.
They're resolutions that would have to be approved by both houses, by the members. A remote chance of that, I suspect. But nonetheless, I felt obligated at this point to make a statement on behalf of every elected official in the state who is dependent upon the outcome of these budget deliberations.
Yeah. We just had a caller who just hung up. I was just going to go to the caller, not understanding why the budget impasse is hurting students going to school. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, there's over 3,800 students who have applied for loan grant monies. The university simply has said, we have no idea how much money is going to be available. I had a most impassioned call from a female student with a dependent child who absolutely needed the $3,000 grant to be able to enroll and to afford college realistically. She's put on a waiting list along with 4,000 other very significant needy students and simply told, we don't know. You're going to have to wait. And she made the decision not to go to college this year because she couldn't afford it.
Yeah. What would be wrong with the idea that the Republicans floated recently about passing separate budgets and taking care of, for example, the state funding for schools first while they work out all these other issues?
I think it's ridiculous. If you take out those two major shared revenue initiatives, all of the other significant funding in this budget proposal will languish forever. There won't be the political outcry, and they know it. We need the officials elected to school boards. We need students, teachers. We need everyone that is most directly involved in our shared revenues to call their elected officials. Now, they know if we exclude city, county, shared revenue officials, elected officials, if we exclude school districts per se, we get the teachers, we get the school board districts off of our backs.
Yeah, and you should have them on your backs.
Yes, we should. We should. This is ridiculous. I mean, we're the laughing stock of the nation. We're the only state not to have a budget passed this late in the session. And we need to change that. But most significantly, and I'll repeat it again and again and again, it is the responsibility of 132 elected officials that you all have elected to bring this budget deliberation to a conclusion. This is what we're elected to do. This is basic. Everything else, the 2,000 bills we may or may not deliberate on, we may or may not pass, are secondary to our responsibility to pass a fiscally sound, responsible, and fair budget. And so far, we have failed miserably in that regard.
Yeah. Do you think that the governor should have stayed home to crack the whip,
no.
Or was it all right for him to go to?
Absolutely. The governor submitted his budget on time, on schedule. He did his responsibility constitutionally. There is very little that he can do at this point. It is up to the 132 members of the Wisconsin Senate and the Wisconsin State Assembly to live up to their obligation and responsibility. It is not the governor's responsibility.
Bill in Lancaster is with us now. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Yeah, my comment is, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, my comment is I feel that the members of the state legislature, the ones that are holding up this budget, need to be fined a certain dollar amount until this is passed.
Is that possible, Representative Boyle?
I don't think that that's possible or probable. I think it would be more likely and legitimate to simply replace the existing eight members of that conference committee with very qualified additional eight members. I don't know if that would change anything, but potentially utilizing a professional mediator in the binding arbitration scenario could produce results on a timely basis. We need to sequester those eight people, lock them in a room as we do in other kind of contract negotiations, and simply not come out until the deal is done and cut. I watch Minnesota legislature, which is time-specific on their budget. They meet day and night, days prior to the deadline for budget enactment, and they do it. They get it accomplished, mostly on midnight of the day that it has to be, but the entire legislature is kept in seclusion there all day and night until it's completed. We need to take it upon ourselves, the same kind of urgency and responsibility to all the taxpayers of this state.
Yeah. Bill, what about this binding arbitration idea?
Well, that could be a good idea. The thing is, though, I'm with a large railway labor union, and it took us 2 years to settle a contract with binding arbitration.
Yeah. That it's not a perfect process either, is it, Representative?
No, it's not. But I think if we did a time-specific conclusion of this process, it would greatly expedite the possibility of it happening. Constitutionally, we don't have to do anything. This thing can languish forever, and that would be incredibly unhealthy for this state.
Yeah. We are talking with Frank Boyle, Democratic State Representative from Superior, who is upset that Wisconsin is more than 2 months overdue with its state budget that is supposed to be in place for the fiscal year starting in July. And he says this has left a lot of state and local services in limbo, and it's time to resolve the budget impasse. He's suggesting that the current eight members of the Budget Conference Committee be replaced with new people, and also a neutral mediator be brought into the process and submit the budget to binding arbitration. What do you think? What suggestions do you have? Are you upset that we don't have a state budget? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday morning, September the 13th. We're talking this hour with Frank Boyle, a Democratic state representative from Superior, who is upset over the budget impasse. And he says this budget stalemate means politicians are failing at their most basic job, and that's coming up with a budget. And his proposal is to replace the Budget Conference Committee, the legislators on the Budget Conference Committee, trying to come up with a budget to run the state of Wisconsin for the next 2 years. He thinks that it also should be submitted to a mediator and binding arbitration. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Back to the phones we go. Landa is it in Madison?
Landa,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I guess I just have a comment. I've worked for the state since 98. I don't think we've ever had an on-time budget. This is ridiculous. There's people looking for other jobs everywhere. I don't know how many of the legislators are business people, but I know many of them are, and I don't think that they would do a job for very long if they didn't know how much they were getting paid, and I don't think they'd keep an employee on very long if that employee came to work day in and day out and did nothing. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Thank you, Landa. Representative Boyle?
Well, I think the caller is absolutely correct. You know, and it has occurred to me during the break that if we can replace our leadership on this conference committee, that are number one responsible to fight the money wars, to obtain the millions of dollars to recapture or to reclaim majority positions in both houses. That's their responsibility. And perhaps if we could replace them with individuals who aren't directly responsible for the financial money raising, we could get somewhere. You know, there's been $17 million since January spent by lobbying groups in this state. That's $128,000 for all 132 of us. Now, that money's going somewhere. And, of course, you know, when you got to spend $100,000 to fight a competitive assembly race and $1 million to fight a competitive Senate race, you're engaged constantly in this struggle to compete in the money wars, both parties, both houses. And we expect the leadership that we require to do that to also come to a compromise on these budget deliberations. Their number one job is not to put the budget together. Their number one job is to retain their majority positions, their power positions, by raising money. And so I just think that maybe we have the wrong people. They're bright people. They're good people. But they have dual roles in terms of caucus responsibility here.
Mm-hmm. Londa's right, though, isn't she, Representative Boyle? We've never had not in recent memory anyway, a budget that was ready to go on July 1 of a fiscal year.
No, we have not, not in recent memory at least. Certainly during the turbulence of the Jensen-Quala era in the 90s, the budgets were delayed a number of times. But, you know, that doesn't make it right. And, but I do think because of the tremendous escalation and the partisan nature of fundraising and negative campaigns, this place has gotten so partisan. And it is such a fight in a war to retain power and control that it consumes us. It consumes us. The good of the public is secondary to re-election. And that's just very sad to see it happen.
Yeah. Has there ever been any talk about shutting down government if we don't have a budget?
Well, there's been a lot of bills to limit campaign contributions. Representative Marlon Schneider, for instance, has a bill that wouldn't allow senator or assembly candidates to collect a penny until they file nomination papers for re-election, which would be next spring for many of us. And that, to me, makes all kinds of sense. If we could take the money out of this process, I think that we could more readily come to a conclusion.
Yeah, but you don't think shutting down state services and other services that depend on taxpayer money would be a way to force the budget to be done on time?
Well, I suspect that if this budget isn't concluded by January, we're going to lose a significant amount of federal revenues. Medicaid is going to take an incredible hit. The university will start laying off people, public education. Cities and counties will lay off law enforcement officers and firefighters to meet their payroll. So that's going to occur.
Yeah.
That's going to occur. But I suggest that the 132 colleagues that are allowing this to happen have a responsibility also to pay the price for this inaction.
Mm-hmm. Dan in White Lake is with us. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I wasn't certain whether your guest said that it's the legislature that has only met for 10 days since February or this committee. Could you clarify that, please?
Yes, I will indeed. The committee has met 10 times, typically lasting no more than 2.5 hours. Most of those 10 meetings for this conference committee have been under 2 hours. The assembly has met 11 times to deliberate legislation, and in some instances, those sessions handled one emergency appropriation bill.
What has it cost us to have this entire body and their staffs on the payroll since February?
Millions of dollars.
And why are we doing it, and why don't we go back to a part-time legislature paid by the day?
Well, we are part-time. We're considered a part-time legislature currently, but I'm not going to dispute your point. Mm-hmm. I quite agree that this has been, and I said it before, the most do-nothing legislative assembly that I have ever participated in.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Gordon in Madison is with us now. Hi, Gordon.
Yes, I hope this is right. I kind of follow up on what the fellow just said. At the next election, I'm going to vote for whoever will support pay-as-we-go with progressive taxes, not cut taxes and then borrow money, go into greater debt to the money lenders. It's just crazy that we're not willing to pay as we go, and we keep wanting to borrow money going further into debt. And I hope the next legislator, if this won't do it, will do that. Let's pay as we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, typically we are. The states are required by federal constitutional law to have a balanced budget. The federal government is not, and we are now $8 trillion in debt in that governmental body. But the states by law are required to have a balanced budget. They can do building, bonding, debt. We can bond for construction projects and transportation projects, major projects. But basically, we have got to balance the budget. And we've got additional revenues coming in the state. The population is expanding. Tax base is expanding. We're collecting more revenues every year. And we're trying to distribute those revenues on a fair basis. And it's that fair basis that I think is the crux of the problem. But when you've got a budget of $58 billion, you've got a lot of interested parties wanting to split and participate in that kind of monetary feast on the state level. Therein lies the problem of paid lobbyists.
Yeah. Thank you, Gordon. Kevin in Port Wing. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
Very good.
I would just like to make a couple comments. The gentleman from Superior is speaking right now. He's been in office forever. How about term limits? You know, Mr. Sensenbrenner, Mr. Opie, they've been there for 20, 30, 40 years. If they can't get it done, let somebody else have a try. I know the political process is voting, but still, career politicians usually don't get anything done. Thank you very much.
Well, the answer to that, I guess, and I have not supported term limits in that. I think that there are political people who have been around a long time, and I have tremendous respect for people like Marlon Schneider who have been around and Fred Risser. They bring a certain institutional knowledge to the processing, and I greatly respect that. We have term limits every 2 years in the Assembly, and I have had competitive races for every term that I've been in office because I'm not afraid to take competitive stands. I'm not afraid to buck the system, and I suspect that I would have competitive races if I ran the rest of my life, which I don't intend to.
We're talking with Frank Boyle, Democratic State Representative from Superior, who says if the state budget is not resolved by next week, he is going to introduce legislation to replace the current budget negotiating team. The conference committee is made up of 4 Democrats and 4 Republicans. He says replace the conference committee and get a neutral mediator involved in the process and submit the budget to binding arbitration. What do you think of his idea? What do you think of this budget impasse? What's the answer? Do you care? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Wisconsin is the only state in the country without a state budget for the current fiscal year. Is that okay with you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, Immigration advocates are worried about a crackdown on migrant workers and their employers. I'll be talking with an organizer of a rally today in Milwaukee that is protesting a crackdown on immigration issues. And we'll also be talking with someone who says the crackdown is needed. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the budget impasse and talking with a state lawmaker who has an idea to get the budget impasse solved. He says replace the current conference committee that's working on trying to come up with one state budget, but apparently is having no success whatsoever. And he says submit it to binding arbitration. We wonder what you think of that idea or what your idea is regarding getting a state budget in place for the state of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me see if I have the big points correct here, Representative Boyle. Well, seems to me that Republicans don't want a hike in the cigarette tax, which was included in the Democratic budget to pay for health care services. Republicans don't want a tax on oil companies, which was put in the Democratic budget to pay for highway projects. The Republicans don't want this hospital tax, which was put in the Democratic budget because it would give more federal matching funds, again, to pay for health care. Is it ideology? Is it philosophy? That's why we have this impasse?
Well, I think that's a great deal of it, and I can understand that. The Republicans have always stood for less government, for less spending in government, certainly. But I think that that this particular budget submitted, which it was so unfair and so partisan in terms of who took the cuts in the disproportionate formula base of those cuts. First time I've ever seen that in a prepared budget. Certainly, we expected the Republican budget to eliminate those tax increases, and there should be a vivid discussion about that and how we fund the transportation needs, for instance, since we've already cut gasoline indexing 2 years ago that supported the transportation needs. We need to generate revenues and not simply cut, cut, cut. And I think the Republicans have got to come to that understanding, and the people that need roads don't mind transportation aids going up, whatever they are. So it's impossible to have something for nothing. If we want a decent infrastructure, if we want decent education, if we want health care for folks that don't have it in this state, then we've got to go to a tax base and be creative about it. I thought the governor's initiatives, many of them were creative. I objected to the gasoline surtax. I don't think it's constitutional, but I had no problem increasing the cigarette tax. I think it's a lifesaver. So to totally throw out any concept of increased taxes, I think is irresponsible. I think there are good taxes, there are bad taxes, there's good spending, and there's bad spending. Yeah. And currently we have neither.
Yeah, and I'm looking at I think this is from Monday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, an editorial, and the editorial writers were suggesting that one of the ways we could solve this budget impasse is that Governor Jim Doyle should convince Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson, who is on the conference committee, to give up this healthy Wisconsin universal health care plan that would increase payroll taxes, another big sticking point.
Correct. I have always supported universal health care politically, but at the state Democratic convention that I attended, the governor said that he would veto it, that he would not support it. So I came to believe that that was the final analysis. And suddenly, this $15 billion shows up. Yeah, I think it. I thought clearly it was a negotiation point, and not a very serious proposal. Not having had any public hearing or deliberation in our chamber, at least on the value of that proposal. And again, I have a difficult with this because I do support universal health care, and I think it's a good proposal. But I didn't think it was going to survive the budget process anyway.
Yeah. I had a caller who wants the names of the people on the budget conference committee. This, I know it includes Majority Leader Judy Robson and Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, but
right.
Who else does
Jim Cruiser, our Minority Leader, is on it. Senator Bob Jolk, my senator from northern Wisconsin, is on that committee. Both Fitzgeralds, Senator Fitzgerald and Representative mm-hmm. Fitzgerald brothers, are on that committee. So that gives you a pretty good core. There's 8 members, and certainly any office, any legislative office, can give you the other members.
Yeah, and these are basically the leadership in both houses.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
correct, with
yeah.
with some addition from the majority house.
Yeah. Larry in Sheboygan, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to make a comment around school funding. If this budget impasse continues and DPI does not get the funding figures they need by September 28th, they won't have, there's an October 15th cutoff. It's kind of this magic number. And if school districts don't have their funding by that time, it reverts back to the previous year, which will obviously create a shortfall. And with that occurring, the local taxpayers will have to make up the difference. So if the assembly continues, it may save the state from spending some money, but in the case of schools, all of that will be passed on to the local taxpayers. And I wish the word would get out and some pressure put on these people, because it may not be impacting them at a state level, but it certainly will be at a local level. Thank you.
That means our property taxes go up, Representative
Boyle?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. In many instances, that will be the case. School districts are capped in terms of their expenditures by the state, of course, because we agreed to participate in a shared revenue 66% of a school aid formula base. But, I see an incredible property tax demand if this budget doesn't pass.
Yeah. Thank you to Larry. Next, we go to Louise in Hillsboro. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that as much as I'd like to see the state budget resolved, I really admire the Democrats for taking the healthcare budget, healthcare problem by the horns there, and making a revolutionary suggestion. And anytime you do that, there's going to be problems, but I hope they come to some resolution, because our working people, our children, and our elderly need health care, and it has to be faced. Thank you.
Yeah. I absolutely agree, and I think the Healthy Wisconsin initiative proposed by the Senate is very good, and the funding is excellent. It needed independent discussion. But, yeah, the greatest thing we could do in terms of promoting economic development would be to provide a state-funded health care package for potential employees. I mean, they would flock here. It would be an incredible concept and revolutionary, but this state isn't about, I suspect, to lead the charge in that kind of a progressive movement. And again, federal government, where do they come in on all of this? But it is a national disgrace, the healthcare situation in this country.
Yeah, thank you, Louise. Ernest in Hayward, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Frank. This is Ernest. Another far-flung idea or far-out idea would be proportional representation, where the legislature could be elected and the candidates or the representatives would represent a group of like-minded people rather than a geographical district. And this could also resolve the 10-year redistricting or gerrymandering problem. But once in the legislature, the committee members could also be elected by their fellow legislatures, and each committee member would know that they would be speaking for a group of like-minded people, and they would be accountable to those people. And I've heard that this could more effectively resolve legislative or representative problems. What do you think of that?
I think it's a wonderful suggestion in an ideal world, but since the cash wars have dominated the re-election cycle so dramatically, where does the money come from? Where do the funding for campaigns come from? It's a question asked time and time again. And unless we resolve this most key issue to the survival of our democracy, the funding of campaigns, we're going to lose this democracy.
Yeah. Thanks, Ernest. Dawn in Onalaska. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I think the process isn't broke. So when we start contemplating bringing in mitigators and stuff like that, we're just putting a Band-Aid on the problem. So I think what a person really needs to do is, and I'm guilty myself of not really paying attention to politics and what's going on in the legislature. And I think next year or the next time it comes to voting, we have to take this into consideration and decide, you know, do we want to go through this again, or are we going to try and get some folks in that are going to actually do what we vote or anticipate that they're going to do for us?
Mm-hmm. And Representative Boyle.
Absolutely. I think that that is a potential solution to the problem. If the 132 current elected officials can't fulfill their most basic responsibility and duty to the taxpayers of producing a budget in a timely fashion, then perhaps it's time to change direction.
Brian in Monona writes an email, please go one step further, Representative Boyle, and introduce a bill to suspend the pay of the legislature in total until a budget is passed.
Yeah, I think that that's an appropriate suggestion, and one that I would be willing to support. Guaranteed.
Well, thanks very much for being with us. We'll touch base with you next week, see what happens.
Very excellent.
Frank Boyle, Democratic State Representative from Superior, planning on introducing a resolution next week to replace the current budget conference committee, the one that can't come up with a state budget, and submit the budget process to binding arbitration. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.